God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 8, beginning with verse 22 through 25, in which we have a miracle of Jesus takes place. Jesus calms the storm while Him and His disciples are on a boat. Now, it's been kind of interesting these last few days. We ourselves have been experiencing some of the physical storms, and we've been kind of wondering, will there be any tornadoes in these storms? Will they do any damage? Will we survive? Gives us a little bit of an inkling of what was going on in the minds of Jesus' disciples. Not that I prayed for the Lord to bring these storms sort of as an introduction to my sermon, but I can use what did occur. First of all, we have to remember Jesus gets in the boat with his disciples and he says, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. Please keep in mind that some of his disciples were very experienced fishermen. The reason why I need to name that is because this wasn't just a group of people on a pleasure cruise. These were people who, some of whom, were very used to being on a boat. And the problem occurred that a storm, a giant storm, a huge storm came, and Jesus was asleep. The storm created so much danger that these experienced fishermen were in fear of their lives. Our text says, from verse 24 in our lesson, says, Master, Master, we are going to drown. And I just want to change that to a different version, and I'll tell you a little bit later on. But humor me with this translation, Master, Master, we are perishing. After Jesus is woken up, hear the plight of the disciples, the first thing that Jesus does is calm the storms. The second thing he does is asks, where is your faith? And the disciples, with fear and amazement, ask, who is this that even the wind and the waves listen to him? Now let's take a look at this text a little bit more from our own point of view. Because if we were caught in a boat in the middle of a lake and a giant storm was coming down, we don't necessarily have the luxury of Jesus sleeping on board with us. So we take a look at the scriptures now, maybe a little differently, by applying the same theme and principles to our own lives. First of all, we're not going to talk necessarily about the physical storms that just rolled through here this weekend, but the storms of life. You know, when life seems to put various forms of temptation, various problems and frustrating things come across our lives, when our lives are filled with a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of intrepidation, we are finally put to the temptation, to the test, so to speak. And we have two choices, at least two choices for the sake of this message. Plan A, to realize what the disciples were saying. We are perishing. And to cling to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Or plan B. And I don't know about you, we're lucky to have plan A in place. In today's society, whenever you hear about Plan B is usually something that is not in place. Something you sort of wing it, just sort of shake your arm and see if something happens, so to speak. Plan B, we want to avoid. Now let me pick up a little bit why the change in translations. The NIV uses, Master, Master, we are drowning, and I have a little bit of concern with that, and sort of a paraphrase here. The correct word is actually perishing, the way the ESV and the New American Standard Bible brings it up. But let me tell you why I have a problem with the drowning piece of this. Because if you were in a boat and there was a storm coming and it looked like the boat was going to be filled with water, what would be the first thing in your mind? Well, in my mind, at least in today's society, I'd be reaching for my life preserver. I'd be noticing if there was any lifeboats attached. I'd be crying for help, but still thinking, you know, I know how to swim, I can float, and with a life preserver, I'll be okay. That's the problem. Going back to the disciples' original words, they weren't thinking, oh, this is going to be a little frustrating, we're going to get wet, and we're going to have to swim for shore. No, their exact words picks up the concept, we are perishing. You need that perishing here. Because for people who like to hang on to plan B, Plan B type people don't cling to the cross of Jesus. Don't seek Him for the source of comfort. Plan B type people think, this is survivable. I just need my coping mechanisms to help me through these trials. I just sort of need to improve myself. I'm strong. I'll be able to make it. That's why I'm going to, for the sake of this message, hang on to, we are perishing. So now let me apply these two plans, Plan A and Plan B, to another aspect of our life. Let's deal with something that Christians are pretty well familiar with, and even non-Christians. Baptism. Especially infant baptism. Because when we see that cute, adorable baby that's just born, what's the first thought that goes through our mind? Let's try Plan A. Plan A, the concept of original sin, as Scripture reminds us. Scripture gives us this proof from the Psalms, Psalm chapter 51, verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The psalmist here reminds us that, yes, this original sin from Adam and Eve, because they were sinful people, their children also have sin. And that sin is passed on from generation to generation to generation. Why am I bringing this up? Because we may see that cute, adorable baby, but that baby, as the psalmist reminds us, was brought forth in iniquity and sin. This baby is an enemy of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 reminds us, the wages of sin is death. We may see this baby and we may think this baby is full of life and has many years to go. God sees this baby in a new light. So now let's pick up the water theme in our text. Because when water is attached to God's holy word, when that water is applied to this baby in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, God's word creates that faith. God's word does another miracle and gives that child faith. God's word now saves that child, and that child clings to the cross of Christ. Now, that same baby, but now Plan B approach. The Plan B approach, the parents sit there and say, this child is innocent, hasn't done anything majorly wrong, may cling to a perceived innocence of this child, ignoring what the psalmist and what Scripture testifies to original sin, and may even make the next mistake in saying, let's wait until this child is of age and can sort of make their own decision. And if it hasn't been taught God's word from early on, what decision do you think the child's going to do? Pick up the modeling from the parents. And if there is no religion, no connection to the church there, what did the child learn? Plan B is the right way to go. You can do it yourself. You don't need to cling to the cross of Christ. With that as more of an explanation of Plan A and Plan B, now let's talk about the storms in our own life. Not the physical storms, but what happens when troubles come our way? The fears, the anxieties come. Do we cling to the cross of Jesus? It's very fitting and very appropriate that the processional cross is right next to the pulpit. Just to remind me, in case if I happen to forget, that we do preach Christ the crucified. We preach that, yes, Jesus, true man, true God, took on flesh and blood, lived among us. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Why? Because we could not pay the price of our sin. We were born in that sin. We continue to sin. And we could not redeem ourselves. We need a redeemer. We need someone who will save us, a Savior. That is Jesus Christ. So when the troubles and the anxieties of our own life come upon us, what do we do? Do we find ourselves clinging to the cross of Jesus? Hanging on to Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength? Using the words of our disciples here. Master, Master, we are perishing. By the way, we did something similar at the beginning part of our liturgy. In the confession of sins, we say, I, a poor, miserable sinner. What are we doing? We're coming before our Lord and saying, Lord, guess what? I can't do it. I need your salvation. Again, we say in the Kyrie, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Again, saying, I can't do it. I'm not going to reach for Plan B. I need Plan A. I need to cling to the cross of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because what happens when we cling to plan B? We wing it. We somewhat survive. But as Jesus' own words in our text, where is your faith? We left the faith behind when we cling to plan B. Where does this bring us? I don't know if you're currently struggling with any type of major turmoil in your life right now. If you are, you know my plan A. Cling to Jesus and Him crucified. It is in Him you have life. He is the one who created you. He's the one who has redeemed you. He is the one that will keep you in this faith. Now, if you're not going through some of the storms of life, we still cling to Him and Him crucified. We realize there is no life outside of what He alone provides. But we don't have to go very far in our own lives. Even when our lives are comfortable, we start to lose sight of Christ and Him crucified. We may be doing pretty good when the storms of life come, but what happens in the aftermath, after the storms have subsided? Do we not go back to our own routine? And in our routine, do we find ourselves still clinging to the cross of Jesus Christ? Or do we find ourselves enjoying the haphazard plan B, enjoying life, not really mattering where we're going or what's coming? Maybe we wait until the next storm of life before we cling to Jesus and Him crucified. Again, we have to go back to the words of our text. Do we truly understand what the disciples are saying here? Experienced fishermen, people who have been used to being on a boat, they've now come face to face with their death and they cry out to their Savior, "We are perishing." I need to hang on to that phrase. Because if not every day, we need to remember why we were baptized. Why were we baptized? Because of that original sin. Why did we need to be baptized? Because we needed to be part of plan A. Why do we need to be baptized? Because we need God's grace so that we can be with Him in heaven above. Every day we need to remember that. Because if we do not start off the day remembering plan A, we move to plan B. Even if there isn't a storm, we need to remember every day the words of the disciples. "Master, Master, we are perishing." The problem is, when we woke up this morning, did we think that we were going to die or perish today? The answer was no. And so we may have woken up, and the first thought in our mind was, "What's for breakfast? What do I want to wear?" Taking a shower, getting myself clean, getting ready to go to church. Instead of thinking, "Yes, I need my Lord and Savior. I need to cling on to Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. He is our salvation." Again, we have to ask the question, where is our faith? If we woke up this morning not repeating the disciples' words of our text, "Master, Master, we are perishing," or some connection to that, what happens tomorrow morning, the next morning, and the morning after? Will we still have those same words on our mind? Or will we think, "Oh, the storms of life have passed. I now can enjoy it." And we flip into plan B. If we find ourselves in plan B more often than plan A, we have to ask ourselves, where is our faith? And so what happens when we come back to our Lord and we say, "Lord, You're right, I've been in plan B too often. I've been trying to do things myself. I've been figuring that this has been survivable. I've been doing okay so far." We come back to our Lord and Savior and say, "You're right, Lord, I've screwed up. I haven't trusted You every single day of my life. I haven't trusted You every single moment. Maybe in the major storms of life, I'll cry out to You for help. But then again, I have to ask, where is our faith? If that is the only time we come to our Lord and Savior is when we're crying to Him because we're in the middle of a storm, the words of Jesus to His disciples still apply to us. Where is your faith? Be careful of that. Because God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. If that is the only time we come running to our Savior, Be careful. The next words out of my mouth may really surprise you. We better ask God to send us a storm every single day, to remind us that we need Him every single day. Most of you are probably saying, Lord, have mercy, please don't let that take place. We want some nice clear days. But when the clear days come, don't forget about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't forget to cling to Him and Him crucified, because it is only in Him that we have life. It's only in Him that we have this forgiveness of sins. It's only in Him that we have salvation. The winds and the waves obey Him. They did exactly what Jesus commanded. And for those of you who have little ones downstairs, you're probably sitting there thinking, I wish my little ones would obey exactly what I command them. Being in that situation, I would concur. And Jesus is probably saying the same thing of each and every one of us every day when the storms of life have passed by. Are we still listening to the word of Jesus? Are we still obeying what He tells us to? Yes, you're here this morning. And we thank God for that. We thank God for the opportunity to hear His word and to be drawn closer to Him. We thank the Lord for what did He do to the disciples? He did calm the storm. We thank the Lord for when He has calmed the many storms in our lives. And we ask the Lord to continue to be with us. And He is. He is with us always. We also ask the Lord to give us that strength to open our eyes to see His miracles daily happening in our lives, because they are happening daily. We lose sight of it because it's a sunny day and the storms of life have passed and we're figuring we're in plan B mode. We need to go back to plan A. Cling to our cross of Jesus and realize that yes, He still is alive and active and interceding daily in our lives, not just when the storms of life come by. So on this day, as we see the miracle, the handiwork of God in action, and we say, thank You, Lord, for delivering the disciples, we also say, thank You, Lord, for showing Your power over the wind and the waves, for showing Your power over the storms in my own life, and for delivering me even from my own self, my original sinful nature. And we ask the Lord to give us that strength, to help us to cling on to Him every day of our lives, to realize that we are not alone, whether it be storming or whether it be sunny out, that God is with us, constantly drawing us closer to Him. We ask the Lord to increase our faith and help us to enjoy the grace and the gift that He alone provides. Plan A. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.